From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the 11th chapter of Hebrews as he brings the next portion of a message called The Report Card of the Faithful. The text is verse 39 of Hebrews 11, "And these all, having obtained a good report through faith." That which characterized all the Old Testament saints in Hebrews 11, whether named or not, may be summed up in the constantly recurring phrase, by faith. As the progress of school children is indicated by their report cards, so the spiritual condition of Christians in every age is marked by clearly identifiable attributes. The very first and indispensable characteristic of true Christians is that they are a saved people, born again through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then, believers are a singular people. They have different values and desires from the world around them, for they are seeking to please God. In addition, God's people are a serving people. Once a person comes to know Christ as personal Savior, there is implanted within him a desire to serve the Lord. Furthermore, believers are a submitted people. By faith, they receive God's word and obey it, with full trust in the Lord who gave it. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. Before he comes, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in Mark chapter 14 and verse 72. "And when he thought thereon, he wept." It has been thought by some that as long as Peter lived, the fountain of his tears began to flow whenever he remembered his denying his Lord. It is not unlikely that it was so, for his sin was very great, and grace in him afterwards had a perfect work. This same experience is common to all the redeemed family, according to the degree in which the Spirit of God has removed the natural heart of stone. We, like Peter, remember our boastful promise, "Though all men shall forsake thee, yet will not I." We eat our own words with bitter herbs of repentance. When we think of what we vowed we would be, and of what we have been, we may weep whole showers of grief. He thought on his denying his Lord, the place in which he did it, the little cause which led him into such heinous sin, the oaths and blasphemies with which he sought to confirm his falsehood, and the dreadful hardness of heart which drove him to do so again and yet again. Can we, when we are reminded of our sins and their exceeding sinfulness, remain stolid and stubborn? Will we not make our house a bochim and cry unto the Lord for renewed assurances of pardoning love? May we never take a dry-eyed look at sin, lest ere long we have a tongue parched in the flames of hell. Peter also thought upon his master's look of love. The Lord followed up the cock's warning voice with an admonitory look of sorrow, pity, and love. That glance was never out of Peter's mind so long as he lived. It was far more effectual than 10,000 sermons would have been without the Spirit. The penitent apostle would be sure to weep when he recollected the Savior's full forgiveness, which restored him to his former place. To think that we have offended so kind and good a Lord is more than sufficient reason for being constant weepers. Lord, smite our rocky hearts, and make the waters flow.
Me and purify indeed and love.
As you listen to today's broadcast, we'd like to express our appreciation to those of you who make Let the Bible Speak a regular part of your day. Over the years since LTBS has been on the air, we've heard from many folk who have been blessed and encouraged in their Christian lives through these programs. We thank the Lord for the opportunity to bring this Christ-centered preaching and God-honoring sacred music into your home, vehicle, or workplace. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. Founded by Dr. Alan Cairns, whose messages you hear on the broadcast, LTBS is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, which is produced in Northern Ireland. It may be that you have wondered about the origin and purpose of the Free Presbyterian Church. Stated briefly, the Free Presbyterian Church is a denomination that stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers around the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the Church. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, please contact Faith Free Presbyterian Church at their toll-free number 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. Or you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Someone from the church will be glad to get in touch with you and to provide you with further details. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, www.fpcna.org. Again, that's www.fpcna.org.
third thing that faith testifies is that these saved and singular people are a serving people. All the events of Hebrews chapter 11 took place as these people humbly sought to serve the Lord in their day and generation. You know, a man can do no more. We read of David that he served the Lord in his generation. That's a very, very important statement. There are a lot of people who profess faith in Christ, and they're living in the past. These men that we read of here were a serving people. They were serving their God in their day. They were facing the challenge of their day. They were challenging themselves, the sins and the strongholds of the devil in their day. In other words, they day by day saw their task as living daily for the glory of God. How do you live for the glory of God? Well, the testimony here is you live by faith in Christ. You do not live for the glory of God merely by human effort. Though, mind you, there is effort here. There is a paying of the price here. Let me get this clearly to you. You will not live to the glory of God without it being hurtful to the flesh, without there being a sacrifice as far as this world is concerned. But as I pointed out as we went through Hebrews chapter 11, the very idea of sacrifice to the Christian is intrinsically different from what it is to the world. To the world, the idea of sacrifice is a mere giving up. It is a deprivation. To the Christian, the idea of sacrifice is the very pinnacle of fellowship with God. It is an entering into a knowledge of Christ. It is an enjoyment of the finished work of the cross and living. Denying the flesh, surely. Denying the world, but it is living in the light of Calvary. Yes, there is sacrifice, but I tell you, that all can only be through faith in Jesus Christ. You serve the Lord by faith. You get the desire to serve the Lord as you look unto Jesus Christ. If your heart and mind are filled with Christ, you'll have a desire to serve the Lord. It's impossible for a Christian to have a spiritual vision of Christ and not wish to serve Him. You get the desire that way. Not only so, but you will get the power that way. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we have a whole discussion on the greater glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and the ministry of the Spirit among the people of God. And we are told that we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. We come to the Scriptures. This Scripture is a mirror. When you look at a mirror, you see yourself. Right? You look at this Bible, you'll see yourself. And let me tell you, you're not going to like what you see. Anybody who can come to the Bible and see himself and like what he sees is not seeing the Bible's message at all. When the Bible sets up the ideal standard for the man of God, when it says, mark the perfect man, and I come to the light of God's word, I don't like what I see. But you see, in this mirror, you see much more than yourself. In fact, if you look properly as a Christian, before you ever see yourself, you will see your Savior. When you look into this glass, you will see the glory of the Lord. And listen, here's the power to serve God. You will then be transformed into the same image from glory unto glory. And the idea there is of a continuing process. As you gaze upon Christ, you are constantly, progressively changed into the image of Christ so that the very glory of the Savior fills your being and shines from you. You get the power to serve Christ by faith in Him. They lived for His glory. We, to use a modern monstrosity of a word, compartmentalize our lives. we give God the glory in church. If this preacher were to get up any Sabbath day and start preaching a humanistic message, you would walk out, or you would shout out, or you would throw him out, which is probably the best thing you could do. You glorify God in church. If I were to start bringing in some raunchy rock music as the backup to the sermon, you wouldn't like it. At least, most of you wouldn't like it. There may even be somebody here who hasn't seen as much as that yet. You want to give God the glory in your music. What about tomorrow morning when you get out into the office or the shop or whatever? You're dealing with an ungodly world. How often do you glorify God there? Paul says, whether we eat or drink. Now, you can't get to anything more elemental in life than that. Whether we eat or drink or whatever we do. Whatever we do. We have to do all to the glory of God. In other words, there's no part of your life that is not to be lived by faith in Christ. There is no part of your activity that is to be divorced from the merits of the blood of Christ. You are ever to keep your eyes on Christ, recognizing that you're His by the purchased price of His redeeming blood. You are indwelt by His Spirit. Your course is charted by His Word. And your purpose is His glory. Therefore, by faith in Christ, do all unto His name. A serving people. And that's the meaning of service, you know. Lord, I would serve you if you sent me to the mission field. Lord, I would serve you if you were to make me a preacher. You called me to be a preacher, I'd be a preacher. If you put me in some full-time office, I'll take that office. Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. That's how we look at service. But the mother in the home who does her work with her eyes on Christ is as much serving God where He has placed her as Hudson Taylor when he was blazing a trail in China. The man who goes into his office and lifts up the standard of Christ in an ungodly world and gives a witness to Jesus Christ and shares the message of the gospel with men and women who are going down the broad road to hell. That man is serving God, glorifying his Savior in the place that the Lord has put him, as much as the preacher who's called to occupy the pulpit. God's people have this testimony by their faith. They are a serving people. But their faith indicates that they're a submitted people. Time forbids that we look at this in any detail. But let me refresh your memory of what I've said week after week on this chapter. Faith is not leaping in the dark. Faith is not getting a bright thought in your mind and following it through as best you can. Faith is not just hoping that all things are going to turn out and tenaciously grasping that thought. Faith receives the Word. Now, if your faith isn't a biblical faith, it's not faith. Let's get that. If your faith is not based on that Bible, it is not faith at all. That's why there's so many people who occupy the church pews of America who think they're Christians and they're still heathens. Faith receives the Word, and faith not only receives it, but faith obeys it with full trust in the one who gave the Word. Faith makes God's people a submitted people, obedient. The great mark of Christians, this comes as a surprise to many people, the great mark of Christians in the New Testament is that they are a submissive people. Now again, that's out of line with man's thinking. Greatness in the eyes of the world, leadership in the eyes of the world, is made up of the ability to get on your two legs and stand up there and assert your rights and stick your chest out and make your voice sound louder than anybody else's and your opinion go further than anybody else's. It is to stamp yourself on all and sundry, and that is human greatness. But in the church of God, it's sin. It's sin. Very often Ephesians 5 is used to batter wives over the head. Must have very thick bones up there because it doesn't get through an awful lot. But you know, Ephesians 5, contrary to what most people think, was not written to teach wives to be in subjection. It was written, and of course this is a very, very different thing, it was written that all Christians should learn, verse 21, that they are to be submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And that's a very different thing from isolating the wife and saying, you be in submission. Now, the wife should be in submission to her husband as unto Christ. But you know, the fellow who is not submitted to Christ himself, the fellow who shows no spirit of submission, no spirit of subjection, no spirit of humility, no spirit of the knowledge of God or the fear of God or fellowship with God, he's going to have a hard job convincing anybody that even the dog should be in submission to him. Do I make it clear? Maybe sinful when women get out of place. But it's no less sinful when men get out of place. Ephesians 5 is written that we should all learn that the mark of the child of God is a mark of submission. And I want to tell you, if you're submitted to Jesus Christ and you're subject to Christ's word, to Christ's will, to Christ's glory, if you're submitted, there's nothing that's going to cost you too much. Hurt your flesh, hurt your pride. Cut you down to size. Yes. But you'll count that all joy. Because it's only when you die that the life of Christ is seen in you. And it's only when you submit that the kingship of Christ is seen in you. You see, the spiritual truth is the lower you get before God, the higher you get in usefulness and Christ-likeness and service. You try to get big, you're nothing. You lose your life in order to gain it. But if you try to hold on to your life, you lose it. That's the logic of the Holy Ghost. Faith allows a person to submit, because I know my Savior does all things well. And if he makes no mistakes, and his will and way are perfect, then I can say with the psalmist, he maketh my way perfect. Obey him.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.